Have you ever thought of the Lord Jesus Christ as a companion and friend? Well, if you've never been born again, if you've never received the Lord Jesus as Savior, that's probably about the most distasteful thought you could have. He's about the last person you'd want to spend any time with. You may be something like the boy who has just gotten into some kind of trouble on the school ground. The principal is the last person in the world he wants to see. Or the child who has disobeyed his parents, and he wishes that he didn't have to face them. Well, God has plans for friendship with you. God wants friendship with you. We're told in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 31, "My delights were with the sons of men." God's delights were with children of men. When God made man, he says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." But then sin interrupted all that. You remember the story of the fall? You can read about it in the third chapter of Genesis. God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. It was his habit to come there. He wanted to have fellowship with the creatures he had made. But when sin came in, we're told they hid themselves among the trees of the garden. Well, you say, I don't feel like that. I wouldn't hide myself from God. But we're told in the third chapter of Romans, "There is none that seeketh after God." Well, you say, aren't we told to seek the Lord? Yes, he does say that we ought to seek the Lord. But he says, "There is none that seeketh after God." We do not seek him. That's why the Good Shepherd came, to seek and to save that which is lost. This isn't a very nice verse. You won't like it, but it's true. It's part of Scripture. The ninth Psalm, verse 17, says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." When I was a boy, we often referred to the first day of the week as the Lord's Day. And after a while, it just got to be plain Sunday. Somebody said, "Now it's Funday." Ordinarily, people refer to it now as the weekend. And you hear all sorts of advertisements on the radio about what you can do this weekend. We have forgotten God to a great extent here in America. Maybe you've forgotten him in your own home. The Lord Jesus doesn't have the place that he ought to have there in your home. He isn't really welcome. But you see, the Lord would like to restore us to himself. He would like to bring us to himself. He would like us to be friends of his. He says that we were enemies in our wicked minds, but now he would like to reconcile us. Reconciliation is a wonderful subject taught in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus is the great reconciler. That's what he came for. I know there's an old song that says, "God and sinners reconciled," but that's not exactly accurate, because God didn't need to be reconciled, and he's certainly not going to be reconciled to your and my sinful ways. But he wants to reconcile us to himself through the death of his Son. And the great classic passage, of course, is 2 Corinthians 5, where we're told that we, believers, as ambassadors for Christ, beseech you, beg of you, to be reconciled to God. And I'd like to bring that message to you today. I'd like to see you brought to God. 1 Peter 3:18 says that the Lord Jesus once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Way back in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel 14 and 14, a very wise woman said, "God doth devise means whereby his banished be not expelled from him." You and I have sinned against God, and we do not deserve his friendship. He would be doing a perfectly just thing if he banished us from his presence and we never again were permitted to see his face in peace. But that isn't God's way. God doesn't feel that way about us. God wants to restore us to himself. It's the carnal mind that is enmity against God, Romans 8 and 7 says. It isn't God's mind at enmity with us. As I live, saith the Lord, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Again, he says, the Lord hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He would like to reconcile us to himself. Now, what can we do? Well, our responsibility is just to come. That's the only thing we can do. Take the wonderful story of the prodigal son in the 15th chapter of Luke. That son voluntarily turned away from his father. Some of you who are listening to me today can look back to the time when you decided that you were going to have your own way, and you turned against God. Well, there's only one thing to do, and that's turn back to him. That's called repentance, turning to God. What did the prodigal say? I will arise and go to my father and will say, Father, I have sinned. If you come back with that story on your lips, you'll find God waiting with open arms to receive you, to reconcile you. Joseph's brethren illustrate this in the Old Testament. They had sinned against their brother, but when they acknowledged their sin, he couldn't keep back his tears. He was glad to be reconciled, have them reconciled to him. Now, reconciliation gives us a new status. In John 15 and 15, the Lord Jesus said, I have not called you servants, but I have called you friends. It's a wonderful thing to be one of the Lord Jesus' friends. In Hebrews 2 and 11, he says he is not ashamed to call us brethren. And in the first chapter of Hebrews, we're told that the Lord Jesus is anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows or his companions. Now, if he had chosen some of the great angels of heaven who have served him faithfully all these millenniums to be his companions, we would not have been too much surprised. But that was not his purpose. We're told in the second of Hebrews that he did not take hold of angels, but he took hold of the seed of Abraham. Those who believe in him from among the children of men are those whom the Lord blesses. The Lord wants us companions. We're told in the third of Mark in verse 14 that the Lord Jesus chose him 12 that they might be with him and that they might go and preach his word. The first thing he wanted was their companionship. And apart from that, they could never really represent him. I just feel very badly when I think how many unconverted people are trying to introduce others to the Lord Jesus. Well, I don't know how many I've seen led to the Lord who had already been teaching Sunday school. What in the world they taught those poor children, I don't know. Never having been born again themselves, how could they introduce anybody to the Savior? I traveled for a while with a man who was a preacher for several years before he was really born again, before he was really converted. Make sure that you know the Lord Jesus. Unless you know him, you could never represent him. Now, he wants us with himself. In fact, he says we're going to always be with him when he has his way, when he comes back for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that he's going to catch us up to be with him, take him home to be with him, and he says we're ever going to be with the Lord. Now, if you've been reconciled to the Lord Jesus, you ought to want his companionship. Well, now you see, if you really love someone, if you enjoy someone's company, you find time to be alone with that person. I've never heard anyone in love saying, well, I certainly enjoy that girl or that fellow's company, but, you know, I just don't have time to see them. Oh, I get around once a month, but, oh, no, none of that. We haven't any time for anything else. We want to be in the company of those whom we love. If you really trusted the Lord Jesus, you'd want to spend time with him, reading his word, praying, putting confidence in him, learning to be a real companion. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for thy love to us. We thank thee for sending thy son to die in our place that we might be reconciled to God. We pray that those who are listening who have not yet trusted the Savior might see that they're still counted enemies until they receive him. And help us who have believed in him to cultivate his friendship, to spend time with him. Take our thanks in his precious name. Amen.